I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Kelly Idem, started his odyssey in his mid-20s when he was diagnosed with a serious chronic kidney disease called glomerulonephritis that is a serious inflammation or breakdown of the tubules in the kidneys that filter waste products from the blood. He was lucky enough to locate a holistic physician who helped him turn his illness around. One of the things he had Kelly do was to take long hot baths in order to detoxify himself through sweating. His schedule had him doing these baths on a Saturday night when most young men would be engaged in other activities. But as his health improved, the intense experience of the baths gave him the desire to want to help others who were suffering from health problems. Only back in those days, no one wanted to listen. About 15 years later, Kelly was interviewing Congressman Peter DeFazio of Oregon for an article about the Access to Medical Treatment Act. The congressman told him about a Senate hearing regarding alternative treatments for cancer, and a man who was telling the committee about how his 3-year-old daughter had made a remarkable recovery after being near death, after seeing Dr. Emmanuel Revisi, a medical doctor practicing in New York City. Kelly received information from the Revisi Clinic about Dr. Revisi and his work, and decided Dr. Revisi's story should be a book and not an article. 3 years later, Kelly's book, entitled The Doctor Who Cures Cancer, was published, and he is here to talk about it. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kelly, and I look forward to hearing about Dr. Revisi and his theory of cancer. Now first, how did you come to write the book, The Doctor Who Cures Cancer?
Well, Carl, I think probably the germination for the book started when I was actually interviewing a congressman, Peter DeFazio of Oregon, in his Capitol Hill office. And I was writing an article, and he was sponsoring a bill called the Access to Medical Treatment Act. And then he told me about a hearing that had taken place over on the Senate side about this bill. And what this bill would do is give doctors more freedom as to how they treat patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over and got the copies of the transcripts from that hearing, and that's where I learned about a little girl named Izzy Morin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was supposed to die in 2 weeks, and she was doing quite well under Dr. Revisi's treatments.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up the phone number, called his family in New Jersey, and spoke with her father, Vernon Morin, for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he put me in touch with the Revisi Clinic, and they sent me back a packet in the mail. And I was reading through it, and as I was reading through what Dr. Revisi had done, mm-hmm. and the discoveries that he had made, it just hit me like, however you want to put it, a ton of bricks, a lightning bolt, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just realized, you know, this is not an article. This is a book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just fast forward 3 years later, The Doctor Who Cures Cancer was published.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I'm glad it was.
Yeah.
Then Dr. Revisi discovered two distinct metabolic patterns in cancer that still elude the alternative cancer treatment community. And what are they?
You know, most people are familiar, who are familiar with alternative cancer care, they are well aware of the real dangers of being too acidic.
Mm-hmm.
We know that, and there's no doubt that being too acidic promotes cancer growth.
Mm-hmm.
What Dr. Revisi discovered is the other side of that coin, and it's a major missing piece to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And what he discovered, and this is going to be a shock to people who are familiar with the alkalize
mm-hmm.
idea,
mm-hmm.
but while some cancer patients are too acidic, some others are actually too alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows up in their urine pH.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not talking about the blood pH, it's the urine pH.
Mm-hmm.
And when people get stuck in this alkaline pattern, they can develop diseases such as cancer and other problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Ravisi, he noticed a couple of different things. He noticed that some of his patients, they had more pain in the morning, and other patients consistently had more pain in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And he wondered about that, and he wondered if there was a connection between the pH, because we go through these cycles during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to have an acidic cycle and an alkaline cycle. And what he discovered in checking their urine against how they were, the pH, against their pain patterns, he found there was a correlation. There's actually three patterns in the urine pH. There's the healthy pH pattern, and then there's either the two acidic pH pattern,
mm-hmm.
and the two alkaline pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So then from that, he was able to start treating patients based on that. If you treat two people who have or supposedly diagnosed as the same cancer, but their pH patterns are different,
mm-hmm.
and that they're opposites, one will get better and one can get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's vital to know what the pH pattern is in the patients so that they can treat themselves or get treatment, the appropriate treatment
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the patients also, they would feel, as I mentioned, feel better in the morning. And then when they would eat, they would temporarily feel worse. And in fact, some cancer patients don't want to eat at all. And that's part of that cycle, that imbalance that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Other patients would feel a little better temporarily when they ate. And so these are all things he noticed. And of course, these things, when you're eating, it's affecting the pH of the person,
mm-hmm.
of their urine pH,
mm-hmm.
which does fluctuate throughout the day, whereas the blood does not fluctuate. I mean, just so tiny amount, it's not even, you know, worth,
mm-hmm.
you know. Oh, and also the people, some of the patients, they couldn't sleep at night. Now, I don't mean pain, not being able to sleep because they have arthritis pain or something
mm-hmm.
like that, keeping them awake. I'm talking about being wide awake. So those patients were one pattern, and the other ones, in their extreme cases, they would even maybe sleep too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them would become almost comatose, you know, because of their imbalance. So what he did is he would measure the urine four times a day, and he would do that at 8 o'clock in the morning, at 1 o'clock p.m., 5 p.m., and 9 p.m. It's important you have to do it four times a day because the urine is fluctuating, and to measure it once a day doesn't tell you anything. And that's how he was able to track and see,
mm-hmm.
there is a difference. There are distinct patterns. It's not just, it's all over the place. Each person has a different one. And for the urine, it should be 6.2 is actually the balance point, which is a low number. A healthy person should have readings half the time should be below 6.2 and half the time above. If a person finds they're consistently having 3 to 1 or 4 to nothing, they've got an imbalance, and that's conducive to producing all kinds of different diseases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's critical, as I mentioned, that to treat the patients, to make sure you're treating the right imbalance, because if you're treating it thinking, oh, I've got to alkalize this person,
mm-hmm.
and you know they've got fluid retention, things like that, they're going to be in trouble,
mm-hmm.
because the alkalizing will hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what his dualism in cancer.
Oh. Now, yes. I think Dr. Gonzalez is the only one I know of that considers that some people are too acidic and some people are too alkaline.
Yes.
And has gone as far as to identify the type of cancer that you'll get. And it fit because I had lung cancer and I'm very acidic. I have to really
mm-hmm.
work on
mm-hmm.
coming back somewhat to the alkaline
mm-hmm.
area. And I think breast cancer also was an acidic, but I don't remember
mm-hmm.
the other ones beyond that.
Right. You know, Dr. Gonzalez's office at one time was next door to Dr. Ravisi's office.
Oh, really?
And I don't know this for a fact, but I think that there may have been some spillage
mm-hmm.
there. They probably discussed these things
mm-hmm.
because Dr. Gonzalez obviously is a great, great scientist. And
right.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that Dr. Ravisi would love to talk to him and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Hmm, that's interesting.
Yes.
Then what is the lipid defense system and how does it protect us from cancer and other diseases?
Well, you know, we're all familiar with our immune system and how we have these immune cells that go out there and protect us from infections. Mm-hmm. But what Dr. Ravisi discovered is that we have a lipidic defense system, which is, you know, the fats.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's sort of like comparable to an analogy. It would be an olden day castle. And, you know, if it's being attacked, and the people inside the castle might shoot arrows at the attackers.
Mm-hmm.
And those arrows would be your immune cells going to attack the toxins or infections that are in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people inside the castle also have the protection of the wall. And the wall is a lipidic defense system of the cell. In the cell walls are two different kinds of lipids
mm-hmm.
that are there, and they actively transport the oxygen and nutrients inside the cell, and they actively transport the waste product back out. And that's a defense system at that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is that because of, you know, either a bad diet or pollution or what have you, bad things that we eat or drink, you know, whatever, stress, some of them, those cells can get deformed, the wall can get deformed. And if you get enough of those going on, then the body is not going to be able to process the nutrients
mm-hmm.
or get rid of the toxins. And then, of course, obviously, when your cells are sick, then the person is going to, over time, you know, if you have enough mm-hmm. of them that are sick,
mm-hmm.
the person is going to develop some sort of dis-ease or disease.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So, yeah. So it's very, very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to be used. In fact, medicines now, they're putting lipid transporters onto them.
Oh, they are.
And that yeah. and that carries, makes the medicine or the supplements, even better with supplements,
mm-hmm.
makes the supplements much more powerful.
Oh.
Because it actively helps to transport the nutrients inside the cell.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Then, Kelly, how can we tell if our metabolism is balanced or not?
There are some obvious signs of it, and then there's some less obvious ones. And, for example, if a person is having unexplained weight loss and typically combined with fluid retention,
mm-hmm.
that's an obvious sign that a person's too, what Dr. Ravisi would call too catabolic.
Mm-hmm.
They're wasting away. We have two metabolisms. There's the anabolic, which is the building up in our body, and there's the catabolic, which is the tearing down, and they're both essential, vital parts of our daily process. We want to have a balance of each one. But what happens when people who have cancer, or if they have this imbalance, so they can develop cancer, it'll swing that way.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to other examples, inflammation would be the opposite side of this weight loss idea, where things are swelling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if you have arthritis, that's an example, or osteoarthritis, that's an example there of the inflammation and the imbalance there, and the localized inflammation. High blood pressure is another example of a metabolic imbalance,
mm-hmm.
Anabolic too high. If the blood pressure is too low, if that's a disease state and not from being physically fit, but too low, that's catabolic because things are kind of falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the building up and the falling apart, which again are both important parts of our daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if we don't have any obvious symptoms, we can check our urine 4 times a day,
mm-hmm.
and that will tell us, you know, if it's consistently 3-1 or 4-0 compared to 6.2, then there's a problem, and if it hasn't shown up yet, it's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I want to emphasize this is not the blood. The blood is 7, I think it's around 7.35, something around there,
mm-hmm.
and it stays almost at that number
mm-hmm.
All day long.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about the blood. People, you hear consistently, get to 7.5, 7.3, 7, you know, you have to get up that high.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking the blood pH, but the urine pH is different.
Mm-hmm. The body is amazing, and
yeah.
I read yesterday some research that they have developed a machine now that can sniff the urine and can identify whether you have bladder cancer or not.
Wow.
And they tested it on 34 people that had bladder cancer and 70-some that didn't, and it was 100% accurate. And they're working to perfect this. But, again, working with the urine, the smell of it, they can detect bladder cancer, which I thought was interesting.
Yes, that's wow. That's really good.
Right.
Yeah, so, it was non-invasive.
Mm-hmm. Then did Dr. Ravisi make other discoveries that are important that we should know about?
Oh, yes, he did. In fact, he made quite a few discoveries. And I should tell you that he was given a Mensa test at one point because mm-hmm. he's so intelligent, and his score was so high they couldn't evaluate it accurately, which tells me he must have had a perfect score.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, he only slept about 2 hours a night most nights. He worked 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
and he lived to be 101.
Oh.
So they gave mm-hmm. him a lot of time to make a lot of discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Arnold Kronk, who's a senior medical person he was at Johnson & Johnson, which is a major, I think, a Fortune 500 company, said that Dr. Ravisi's had made so many discoveries that it could keep an entire graduating class from medical school busy their entire lives.
Mm.
So he just made all kinds. I mm-hmm. think he probably could have won 6 or 7 Nobel Prizes. There's been at least one discovery that won a Nobel Prize for someone else, and then someone else won the Lasker Award for another discoverer that he made,
mm-hmm.
which is the Lasker Award is like the American Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you a couple of examples, Dr. Ravisi invented a couple of medications for drug addiction,
mm-hmm.
and they're non-toxic, and they stop the addiction to heroin in 3 days.
Wow.
And methadone, it takes 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the patients don't have any withdrawal symptoms, and they don't have, in fact, they feel good.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, that feels good. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it's, just that alone, you can imagine the difference that could make in society.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he also had invented something for alcoholics, and it just clears up the desire to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And protects the body from the negative effects from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had success with osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. He could treat heart disease. He treated so many things. I mean, mm-hmm. there's all this stuff, by the way, it's hard to go into all of it, but it's mm-hmm. all in the book, The Doctor Who Cures Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And his treatments are still available today, I should tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Another discovery, and I didn't find out too much about this, but he apparently could reverse childhood retardation.
Oh. Mm.
So, it just a phenomenal
mm-hmm.
breadth of his work. He actually rewrote the periodic table of the chemical elements
mm-hmm.
so that you can look at it horizontally and vertically and tell where the problem is occurring in the body
mm-hmm.
and it's just phenomenal the work that he's done.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kelly, would you tell us then if you have services and products, or if you want to tell us more about the book and where
sure.
it can be located, and if you have a website people can go
yes,
to?
Yes, they can get the book a couple places. One is Amazon and Amazon.com, and also at my website, which is the same as the title of the book. It's The Doctor Who Cures Cancer.com. So sort of like those books, The Doctor Who. So this is The Doctor Who Cures Cancer.com. And on Amazon, you can see that it's got a rating of 4.5 out of 5, which
mm-hmm.
is pretty good for a controversial book,
mm-hmm.
controversial story. And I do consultations as well over the phone with, mm-hmm. For a fee. But I guess starting off, they can just read the book and see if it's right for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great story. I mean, it's a shame that more people don't know about it, but more people are finding out
mm-hmm.
about it slowly.
Right. Good. Well, I thank you very much, Kelly. This has been interesting.
You're welcome, Carl.
And I know it will be helpful to people, especially those that are interested in the acid-alkaline balance and some of the other things that you've talked about. So I thank you very much.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you.
Denise Marie, publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, has brought us another great magazine, the Spring 2013 issue, that is filled with inspirational stories and music, as well as information on social, health, and life issues. Because of my years working with homeless populations, I was immediately drawn to the story and trailer on Homeless to Hollywood, that tells of a girl with a dream of being an artist who was also homeless and afraid of telling her classmates because she thought they would make fun of her. She and her family moved from shelter to shelter over 30 times, but she continued her dreams and painting to become an artist. The recent documentary in her name won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Film. Another human interest story is about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner who gives out hugs to all customers. Tim, who has Down syndrome, lives a productive life and talks about his life, marriage, and future. Two musical segments were memorable for me. One was the story and music video of Sister Rosetta Thorpe, the godmother of rock and roll, who performed in the 30s and 40s. This great music brought back memories of visits to the jazz and rock and roll clubs when I lived in New York City in the 50s. The second segment was a video by Josh Groban singing his new song, Brave. He has sold over 25 million albums, and many of us know him and his music. Social issues, including the fracking potential in New York State, the FDA approval of aspartame as a hidden, unlabeled additive in milk and other dairy products, the harmful effects of the microwave, the dangers of five chemical companies taking control of our seeds and its influence on food safety and diversity, and stopping violence against women with February 14, 2013, the V-Day to involve 1 million women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand and end violence. As the new Healthy Living editor, I wrote an article on holistic approaches to preventing and treating wrinkles without surgery, and also interviewed Dr. Fred Pescatore on natural ways to deal with seasonal allergies. Last were articles on Ann Richards, the 45th governor of Texas, and the new one-woman Broadway show on her life, and another story about her daughter, Cecile Richards, who has been a strong advocate for women and involved in issues ranging from Roe versus Wade to more recently joining Planned Parenthood as president. With these and other stories, you won't want to miss this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Monique Chapman, is an internationally recognized intuitive lifestyle consultant. Recognized in the fields of intuition, human potential, metaphysics, and spirituality. Intuitive since birth, Monique draws upon her 3 decades of professional experience, providing clear-cut information, assisting people to discover their life passions, and laying the foundation to set and achieve personal and professional goals. She is an award-winning radio host, and as an author, has been featured on CBS, MTV, and contributed to Good Morning America. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Monique, and I look forward to talking with you about the Actualizer Method. Now first, what is the Actualizer Method, and how did it come about?
Okay, well, I'm going to do that a little bit backwards. It came about through the 30-plus years of working with clients and giving them consultations and healings at the same time, paying attention to what they needed, what they said they wanted, and then looking clearly at what their energy was speaking, mm-hmm. and putting together a program that would holistically address the whole of the client to allow them to come back to their self-actualized self, which is truly their I am self.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a holistic program geared toward the development of the whole person, taking into account the mental, physical, energetic, and social factors. Now, the resulting of this integration of these powers, it brings back a very forceful healing factor that produces a fully functional person living quite authentically in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by quite authentically, they're living themselves. They're walking to the beat of their own drum, so to speak, while they are integrating with the rest of the world. Because
mm-hmm.
right now, Carl, so many of us, we pretend or we have the need to be someone else,
right,
and then try to integrate. And it doesn't work. And we wonder why we lose jobs or we get excessive illness or people just don't like us. And it's because we're coming across as a fraud instead of being ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then, Monique, how does the energy from a session assist in healing someone?
Oh, well, there's five major areas that I help people with, and that's addiction, depression and anxiety, relationships, financial stabilization, or business or job or career, or what I call right livelihood. Now, once stabilization is achieved in any of those areas, your whole life takes off in a very positive way for you. Your happiness and your wholeness is no longer dependent on any external stimulus. You are utilizing your own core energy, who you are at core, your soul energy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to start creating situations in your life. And the wonderful thing about it, Carl, is that everybody has this ability to heal. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not that, you know, it's special to one and not another. Everybody has the ability to heal.
Mm-hmm. Have they always had that ability, or is it changing as a result of the ascension process?
You know, I think the ability has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is changing because of the ascension process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the quickening is upon us, as the folks in the Bible would say.
Mm-hmm.
And we are changing. Our vibration is changing at such a high rate that we no longer can afford to lag back. We just can't. I mean, things are happening, forcing change, whether we want it or not. I mean, I get so many calls. Oh, I just lost my job. Oh,
mm-hmm.
how long have you been
mm-hmm.
there? 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the job? No, I hated it. Well, you know, the universe is saying now, no, it's time to move on. Okay, I don't like my husband. How long have you been with him? 40 years. Well, guess what? It's time to make a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe is pushing this energy out to us with the ascension by raising up our frequency so that whatever was our BS, and that's belief system,
mm-hmm.
previously is falling away, and we're opening up to the new energies that are abounding.
Mm-hmm. I read someone that channels that said that the last hurricane came because Mother Earth was trying to cleanse and found an area of negativity and was trying to bring more positive vibrations to that area.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect any hurricanes this year because of the increased vibration, but I thought that was an interesting concept. Have you gotten anything like that?
Well, I believe that that's a very interesting concept. And what I get is when, you know, everybody's worried about 2012 and what's going to happen. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, my
mm-hmm.
God, are we going to just go off into oblivion? I don't necessarily see it that way. What
mm-hmm.
I see is a shift in consciousness, such a raising in vibration that we are going from the third, skipping the fourth, into the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And those who choose not to join that process, they stay here on Earth. So it's like, oh, we're surrounded with a group of like-minded people in the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And not that anybody's better or worse than another,
mm-hmm.
but people who, you know, for whatever reason don't want to change, they stay here earthbound on the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
see planet Earth exploding,
right.
as some people
right.
think it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just see a shift in perspective,
mm-hmm.
a shift in frequency as
mm-hmm.
we grow.
Mm-hmm. I've read a slight variation of that, Monique, that the earth itself is ascending, and that those who chose to ascend will ascend with the earth, but those who choose not to will be placed on another planet. So it's the same process. It's just a slight variation as about the earth, whether the earth will be with those that ascend or not. And so,
yeah, and I think to some degree the earth will ascend, the vibration on earth will be higher, but it's not going to be the same frequency as the fifth dimension, you know, and you know what? None of us know for sure.
Right, right.
We can just tap into what we feel, what our soul is telling us, and go with it. But as you said, I've got a piece, someone else has a piece, and out there many other people have pieces. And if you put all those pieces together, you will come out with a common denominator.
Right. And that is that there is ascension, whether it's on the earth or whether it's taking place in a different way.
Yeah. Well, you know, Carl, the one thing that I have discovered, you know, having my radio show for over 10 years, is 10 years ago, everybody was talking about ascension. Now that it's here, you get very few people talking about it.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, in comparison to 10 years ago. And I was like, wow, you know, because this is the time to really be aware. This is the time for your meditation to get into whatever your own spiritual practice is.
Right.
This is
right.
the time for that.
Mm-hmm. I have not given up on it. I did a series, must have been in the spring maybe. I think it was maybe 3-month series. And then I think it was 3 years ago, I had Patricia Corey from Italy for my Christmas guest who talked about ascension. And the year before, I had Caroline Corey from France talk about the ascension. So I still focus on it, I guess, because I'm so interested in it. I think when we're interested in something, we tend to focus on it more than.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that people that aren't aware need to have somewhere where they can go to find out about it. And I think a lot of people are aware that something is happening, but they aren't sure what it is. I think that's.
Exactly.
Partly,
I mean, they just need a little bit of guidance.
Right. And I think that. Partly is why there is so much divisiveness in Congress, for example. I think they're not really aware, but they know something is happening that's having an effect, and I think the effect is coming out as divisiveness. Is that correct?
Unfortunately. Yeah, unfortunately it is divisiveness.
Right.
But we, you know, just get through that as best we can, because now is the time to come together.
Right.
Now is the time to help each other.
Right.
Not the time to tear everything apart. I mean, yes, to a degree, there's going to be a certain level of destruction, like in the back east with Hurricane Sandy and who was it, Katrina, because in order for things to be different, things have to change, and destruction, unfortunately, if you want to look at it that way, is a very clear and wonderful path for creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's nothing there, if you're stripped to nothing, you have a wonderful opportunity to rebuild yourself on all levels.
And I think the Occupy Wall Street had a good goal in that they were trying to make people aware of things that needed to be changed in order to raise consciousness.
I think so, too. I just think that they were, you know, not wanting to be so government-centric that they were a bit disorganized. You know, there was no real clarity. And I think that if they had structured that in a clearer way, we would be in a different state right now, because we wouldn't be still taken advantage of by the banks, by the mortgage companies, by the food companies. Things would change, and we would be holding companies' feet to the fire and demanding clear explanations, not whatever garbage they want to send our way, and then challenging that. And I'm not talking anything like a tea party. I'm just talking about regular good old Americans standing up for what it is that, you know, America stood for way back when.
Right. For example, Monsanto and labeling of our food supply. I think that is something that should be done. And a lot of people are, if you go on Facebook, you know, it goes by spurts. Sometimes there's a lot of people doing something, and then for a while there's nothing, and then it starts up again. I think it's something that people are interested in and aware of, but it doesn't look like much is happening because it didn't pass in California either.
No, it didn't, and I live in California, and it's unfortunate it didn't pass. However, I have to say, Carl, that I did vote against it, and I voted against it because the wording was wrong.
Oh.
They had it where it would give you the ingredients on dog food, but not let you know if your hamburger had that pink slime in it.
Oh.
Yes, where your meat came from, what the cows were fed, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't very clear across the board, and they could have done a better job of making it more across the board. But the light at the end of the tunnel with this is that the group that organized it, they haven't stopped. They're moving forward.
Good.
Okay, they're regrouping. They're moving forward. They're strengthening. They're putting more teeth, if you will, into the proposition. And next time I think it'll pass because it'll make sense.
Good, good. Well, everything moves slowly in this country, so I hope it will pass next time, too, because I think that California will set the model for the rest of the country, and once it happens in California, then it will move to other states, probably to the East Coast, and eventually get into the interior.
Well, it used to be that way anyway. You know, I'm a native New Yorker, and we used to say, oh, those nuts and bolts in California are changing things again. And then you would see the change in New York. And now that I'm in California, we put the idea out there, and other states pick up on it, run with it, and pass it, and we're still stuck saying, what? But I think that also attributes to the amount of people. I mean, we do get a lot of people out on voter day, but we have to truly inform the low information voter so that they can have information and be able to make a choice.
Yeah, California is a very changing population, which I'm sure makes a difference over 30, 40 years in how, you know, the group react to legislation, et cetera.
Well, we'll see.
Back to your actualizer method. Is this a form of energy healing?
It's definitely a form of energy healing. I'm a firm believer in that when you go to the doctor, you know, the allopathic doctor, or you come to a holistic doctor, that everybody's working with energy. It's just that the doctor might give you some pills that have been infused with some energy that might kill you instead of cure you. But this is definitely a form of energy healing, I should say. It is partly hands-on, partly just sending the energy, and someone is taught how to send the energy to different parts of their body where they are having some type of affliction, and then send the energy in general to their body so that their whole system is uplifted, their vibration is spinning faster, their cells are turned upward toward the sun, eager to feel the sun's energy and take that on and enliven the body.
Great. Then, Monique, you say that people have a fake viewpoint of themselves. Why is that?
Because, you know, as a child, you know, we have very well-meaning parents and other people around us, and they kind of mold us into who they want us to be instead of whom we truly are. It's very rare that a parent will look at their baby and allow their baby to develop their own talents. It's generally pushed upon the baby. And then once we go to kindergarten, the first thing that happens is our imagination is beat out of us. The second thing that happens is we're told who we are. You know, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're smart, you're whatever. And then based on that, little cliques in kindergarten start forming, and again, you're judged. And so by the time you get to first grade, you're a complete mess. Because everybody has told you who you are except you. You haven't been taught to discern who you truly are and how you contribute to your current situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even a kindergartner has much to contribute to the world, much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then how could a person begin to correct this fake viewpoint?
Well, first of all, by, you know, really kind of having what I call a come to Jesus meeting with themselves,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, look, is this really me? You know, do I feel comfortable when I think about this? I'm getting up tomorrow and I'm going to school, going to my job as a school teacher. Do I really like that? Or would I rather be in administration? Or would I rather be a ditch digger? What was it when I was a child that my heart fluttered for?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get back to that, get back to your childhood wishes, that inner child will come out and assist you with where changes could possibly be made to make you happy. And it might not be getting rid of a career. It might be doing something secondary to your career.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be getting rid of everybody in your household that you're irritated with.
Mm-hmm.
It might be enlightening them on, okay, this is who I truly am, and if they can accept you, wonderful, and if they can't, move on, because that's also wonderful for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that spiritual attunement could help that process?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, the more spiritual attuned you are, the clearer you become, and it's easier to break those patterns that are truly not you. But you have to be ready for it,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because
mm-hmm.
spiritual attunement will break it up, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what happened here? And I need to do something, and quick, because, you know, spirit doesn't play. It
mm-hmm.
kind of
mm-hmm.
gives you that 2x4 upside your head every now and then.
Then, Monique, what areas can the actualizer method assist with?
Well, you know, if you're feeling depressed, it can definitely help with the depression. If you are having angst or anxiety of any kind, it's definitely going to help with that. And, you know, Carl, there are so many people today suffering with addictions,
mm-hmm.
whether it's food, alcohol, drugs. You can have addictions come in many, many different forms.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you to back away from what you've become addicted to and start living your true authentic health. It can also help in relationships, whether it's a young relationship that's getting just forming, coming together, and, you know, there's some issues and you're wondering whether or not you should continue that relationship. Or if it's a relationship of 40 years and, you know, you really haven't been together for 35 out of those 40, but
mm-hmm.
you've been living under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it can allow one, if they would like, to open the doors to see what's next for them, minus that partner that has been holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the other hand, Carl, it can help bring them back together. It's truly the wishes of both parties, the sincere, heartfelt wishes of both parties and what they want to do. And, you know, right now, everybody's in a very interesting financial situation, or
mm-hmm.
at least I should say most of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite different from where it has been. And it can help you with adjusting to your current financial situation so that you see where you're at. You make concrete plans and steps for growth, goals, if you will,
mm-hmm.
so that you can grow. Because one can still grow in this economy. It's just figuring out where. The rules have changed so much that very few people now know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So once you figure out what the rules are, then you can make that shift. And then that dubs right down into, you know, your career or job, and that's what I call right livelihood. Because
mm-hmm.
when you're living right livelihood, you're happy. You're more than happy to get up and go to work. You're more than happy to do the things that bring you joy around your career mm-hmm. and livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So it can help you gain clarity. So if you don't want to be a clerk, you don't have to. But if you love being a clerk and you want to expand that to maybe where you're a contractor working for 3 or 4 different companies instead of just working for one company, that's expansion of your income,
mm-hmm.
expansion of you and of your growth. So you have the opportunity to do this.
Mm-hmm. Now, Monique, do you give regular readings?
Yes, I do. I have consultations on a regular basis. I work in the California, San Francisco Bay Area, so you can come and see me in person there, or I work over the phone or Skype. I have about 550 clients that are out of the country, Southeast Asia, mm-hmm. a few in Africa, Canada. So I work with people from all over the world via the phone, Skype, or should they want to pop in, I'm more than happy to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Or even fly me there. I'm more than happy to see them. And then I also have classes. But, you know, Carl, going back to the consultations that I do, mm-hmm. you have the consultation with me, and yes, I give you the information, but you're also receiving a healing at the same time, an energy healing at the same time. And I have yet to have one person tell me after our consultation is done that they did not feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the healing that's going on. And then we have classes to teach all that I do, and so that you can utilize this energy for yourself to keep your vibration at a pretty high level.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason for us to have disease and illness. I mean, you know, we buy into a certain degree of that because we made contracts before we came to Earth.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
there's certain diseases, unfortunately, that we've made an agreement to experience. However, it doesn't have to take us out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we wanted to experience the disease. We didn't necessarily say we wanted the dis-ease to, you know, take us out
right.
of this world.
Right.
So there's many different ways that we could work with.
Mm-hmm. Now, Monique, do you have a website or some way that people can find you?
Yeah, my website is my name, MoniqueChapman.com. My email is Monique@MoniqueChapman.com, and my toll-free number is 888-240-6057.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, this has been very interesting, and I appreciate it very much, and I hope to be talking with you again. I've been on your show twice, so
mm-hmm.
we have our interactions, don't we?
Yes, we do, and I thoroughly enjoyed you as a guest. You're so knowledgeable, so I'm so glad that you have found your radio show, and I'm grateful for you and your audience, you know, listening in and taking action.
Do you want to mention your show?
Oh, sure. My show is called Walking with Spirit. It airs every Wednesday night on the Achieve Radio Network from 5 to 7 p.m. I have all the, what I call high-level walkers and talkers and authors in the metaphysical, spiritual, medical, and intuitive arena. I've had Carl on, people like Greg Braden, Sonia Chiquette. I can't even think of them all right now. There's so many. I generally put it like this, that they've been on Oprah, mm-hmm. they've been on me, with the exception of Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, mm-hmm. And how do they locate the address for how they reach Achieve Radio?
Okay, you can go to AchieveRadio.com, and that's AchieveRadio, all one word, .com, and you can listen there, or you can go to my website, Monique Chapman, and click on the radio link, and that will take you to Achieve Radio. It'll tell you who's coming up, a little blurb about them, and then it will take you to the Achieve Radio page so that you can hear not only what was recorded last week, so you get to hear Carl's interview, but you could also listen to other shows on demand.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Monique. It's been interesting, and I know the listeners will enjoy hearing what you have to say about...
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
About the Actualizer method, but also the little we talked about the Ascension, because as you say, there hasn't been much information out about this recently. So I appreciate
it.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I think I'll write a blog about that today, so thank
Good.
You.
Great. Good. Well, thank you very much, Monique.
Okay, thank you, Carl.
Mm-hmm. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all previous shows archived for your listening enjoyment. You will also find a sign-up sheet for my free monthly newsletter on healthy holistic aging. You'll find some e-books. You'll find my last two books, Healthy Holistic Aging, for sale. And you'll also find my recent book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. This talks about my experience with lung cancer 38 years ago when I was given 6 months to live by traditional medicine and chose to use all natural interventions. As you'll see, I'm still alive and healthy with no chronic health problems and no prescribed medications. So it all worked. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find more information on that experience. You will find the endorsements. You will find the radio shows that I have done. You will find some of the magazine articles and reviews that have been written. And you will find more information about the book. The book includes chapters by additional health and medical personnel who talk about different types of successful interventions for lung cancer in the clinic setting and in the home setting. I hope you will take the time to look at these two websites. I also invite you to join me on Facebook, where I have two pages. I have a page on Beat Lung Cancer, and I have a page on the Holistic Health Show. I thank you for joining me today. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.